is happening, everybody? A happy Tuesday to you all. Of course, it is the Valspar Championship Week. Typically, the last 4 years, we X out 2020, of course, due to COVID. Last 4 years, I had been there on a Tuesday, walking with the golfers as they go through their practice rounds. I got up real close to Tiger Woods a couple of years ago. I mean, as close as you can get, standing right behind him. Got some great pictures there, but this year, due to COVID, they've got all of the entrances blocked off until Thursday. I've already made my way down there. It's 8:43 in the morning. I've already made my way down there to try and get in. And maybe I was there a little too early. Maybe I'll go back this afternoon and check. But I've still come up with my fades, even though I haven't seen the golfers in person or reported on a JJ Spawn withdrawal. In 2019, I had that in the practice round there. But this year, we're going to have to come up with just the old-fashioned analysis, if you will. So let's go ahead and jump right in to my PGA DFS top five fades for the Valspar Championship this week. And it's going to be a fun week this week. So probably the best field that the Valspar Championship has ever had, at least in my opinion. And hey, man, I've been going for 6 years now. So goes to show you, we're going to have plenty of options to choose from. That's why I'm going to choose the guys that I do that I'm going to fade. But before we do, of course, each and every time I go into Transparency Corner, I tell you how I did last week in this short form video. Because if I didn't, I could just be spewing information and you guys could look at me like, oh, sure, we'll just take it with a blind eye. No, here we go. Bo Hogg and Wes Roach, they missed the cut. Tom Hoagie and Bo Hostler, they missed the cut. Roger Sloan and Aaron Baddeley, they missed the cut. 3 for 3. Well, Jason Kokrak and Pat Perez ended up coming in a tie for 21st. Not bad. Pretty good, but their direct pivot, Matt Wallace and Graham McDowell, ended up outscoring them, especially with that hole-in-one. So that's good. That was a good pivot there. But a big fade of Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel, which was silly, given the fact that they had been partners for 3 straight years, had been good form, blah, 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 so much. They ended up coming in second place. Silly for me to fade them, but listen, we're going to go 5 for 5 here this week at the Valspar. And there's going to be some familiar names on here. I'm ready for these guys to start to regress a little bit. Maybe I'll be broke by the time they do. It's possible, but Kevin Streelman, he's coming in at 13% at 7,800. He's coming off of the miscut last week, but that was a team event, so maybe you can throw that out. But 33rd at the RBC Heritage, where he was also very highly owned. So for me, even though the strokes gained power ranks looked pretty good, 53rd, 63rd, 126th, and 108th, I go off the tee approach around the green putting, just so you know if I don't specify. So for me, 13% owned at 7,800. I'm totally out. There are so many guys. I mean, I can't even tell you so many guys below him that are way less owned that I like a lot more than Kevin Streelman, who's missed the cut each of the last 2 years here at Valspar. I don't think it's a great course for him. So for me, I think the regression should set in, and 13% owned, no thanks. Second guy, I'm going to go to Russell Henley. I know this is a tough one because he has been playing superbly, and in fact, he has one of the best awesome unofficial world golf rankings versus their actual official world golf rankings. So Henley has been playing much better this year, but at 9,000, at 16% owned with not great history here, I think I'm going to take the other side. Now, I'm not going to have zero of him. I will have very little of Kevin Streelman, but I certainly won't have zero here of Russell Henley. Came in 42nd here in 2019, and of course, coming off that ninth place finish at the RBC Heritage, he is playing well. Strokes gained off the tee, 97th, 6th on the approach, 82nd around the green, and 46th putting. Certainly the guy that is top 10 and on the approach can get himself inside the top 50 in putting. That's a great recipe for success. But for me, 9,000, we got to get a top 10 out of him here this week. And I'm just not sure that this is the golf course for Henley to do it on. Now, granted, given the fact that he's been so good at ball striking, one would think, yeah, he's not a great putter. May not need to make as many putts. Maybe it is a good fit. That's why I won't have zero. I think that's a pertinent point there. All right, the third guy I'm going to talk about, and my third biggest fade here of the week, is Charlie Hoffman. Charlie Hoffman coming in at 14% owned this week. And last week, he continued his good run of form at the Zurich Classic with partner Nick Watney, coming in a tie. I believe it was a tie for 11th, if I'm not mistaken. That's at least what I have here down on my notes. So the good form does continue. Came in 18th here 2 years ago. So it's not like he doesn't know his way around. For me, though, it's just a product of a lot of golfers priced around him and the fact that he's getting a ton of ownership. Now, he did come in that tie for 11th last week, so it's not like he's coming in bad form. So this is a tough fade for me. I think the ownership ends up getting higher, though. I think that's where I'm heading with this, at least, or where my thought is right now. The ownership projected at 14%. I think it goes a little bit higher. And I think that we've got guys around him that are playing as good or maybe better golfers long term, but may not be right now. Speak of Bubba Watson, it's the name off the top of my head, projected at 3% owned this week and only $300 more with a top five here at this course. Top five last week was Scottie Scheffler. So for me, it's just a product of finding other people at severely less ownership than Charlie Hoffman. We've had a great run from Hoffman, don't get me wrong. We had the second place at the Valero, 18th at RBC, 11th last week. It's been a great year. I think this might be a spot for a little bit of a spot of regression for Charlie Hoffman. At least that's what I'm gambling on. Lucas Glover is going to be my fourth fade here this week. As he's popped up in form, his price has come back up. And typically what happens with Glover is when his price comes up, his ownership goes up as well. And that's typically when I like to jump off the train. Course history here, he's made the cut in the last two times, 13th and 74th. Missed cut last week at the team event, a 33rd at the RBC Heritage. When we take a look at the strokes gain ranks, I can understand why 11% or more of the gamers would want to roster him. Given the fact that he's 39th off the tee, 75th on the approach, 69th around the green. But the putter, that's got to wake up, 164th. All right, here we go. My Jason Kokrak fade of the year. Perennial fade, if you will. It's Chris Kirk. Maybe last week was the time in which Kirk will start his regression back to maybe his mean. He has had a great season, very much like Charlie Hoffman. You see me group these guys together because I believe they're outperforming where I really think they are. They're good quality golfers. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to take that away. It's just that I don't want to pay in the 8,000s and get 15% ownership on them. It's just not what I'm looking to do. It's not where I have them ranked long term. So I'd rather find other golfers, that are cheaper that I think either fit this course just as good or if not even a little bit better. So Kirk coming in 8,200 this week, 21% projected owned. Course history, not very good. Missed cut in 49th in his last two tries. Obviously, recent form, we had that 7th at the RBC. That was a great spot for him. Last week with Brendan Todd, though, he did struggle a little bit and maybe that knocked him off his kilter. We see why he's done good this year, though. 69th off the tee, 38 on the approach. 18th around the green. This guy chips in at least once a tournament, then 103rd putting. So as you can see, it has been a great season for Kirk. But I'm going to be fading this week. I'm also going to be fading Kevin Streelman, Russell Henley, Charlie Hoffman, Lucas Glover, and then, of course, Chris Kirk. There is my top five fades for the Valspar Championship. Thanks all for coming by and checking it out. Of course, make sure you like and subscribe to our awesome YouTube channel here to get notified when these do come live. And, of course, stay tuned. 2 o'clock today or 1 o'clock today is the PGA DFS Strategy Show with myself and Ben Raza. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, be sure to check out Mr. Raza and Eric Lindquist on the Live Before Lock Wednesday show. And of course, follow along with me on Twitter at DFSGolfer23 for early morning Thursday updates. I'll be there first tee 7 a.m. I enjoy my early morning golf watching. I'm not playing. Why don't we be watching it? So I will be perusing around Innisbrook Copperhead course on Thursday morning. So until then, everybody, thanks for joining, and we will see you on the other side. Cheers.